Blog Talk Radio.
I looked apart, blending with the rest of the church crowd. I know the routine, like a list of the Bible studies in town. Watch Christian TV, I know all the preachers, their cliches. Been born again, without a doubt I know I'm saved. But sometimes I hurt, sometimes I cry. Sometimes I can't get it right, no matter how hard I seem to try. Sometimes I fall down, stumble over my own disguise. I try to look strong, the whole world looks on, but sometimes alone I cry. I try to speak faith, never give the devil one inch to get in. Do worship and praise, let everybody know just where that I stand. On the back of my ride is a fish and a cross for the world to see. I know God is good all of the time, yes, there's no doubt for me. But sometimes I hurt, and sometimes I cry. Sometimes I can't get it right, no matter how hard I seem to try. Sometimes I fall down, stumble over my own disguise. I try to look strong, the whole world looks on, but sometimes alone I cry. The whole world looks on, sometimes alone I cry. I try to look strong, the whole world looks on, but sometimes alone I cry.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to your place. As the song states so well, that in living for God, this doesn't mean you won't have tests, trials, be hurt, and can even find yourself feeling that you're all alone in your spiritual process. I do not, as a rule, have much input in the topics discussed each week, but I found this message by Bishop T.F. Tenney, and I felt that this should be the show for this week. For sure, he is a man of God that is respected even outside of the UPCI denomination. Preaching and life have been an inspiration to many people for years. The title of this message tonight was brought to you from a live church service. The message is the power of pain. We hope that this speaks to you as it does to us. And as always, at the end of the show, we open up the mics for people to make a comment or ask a question. All you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone at the end of the show, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when we place you on the air. And please remember, this is a family show. And now, let's have a listen.
In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and we are going to read from verse 16 unto the woman. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then in the book Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And this is what I call God's four be no mores. There shall be no more death, neither no more sorrow, nor no more crying, nor no more pain. In the third chapter, we find our introduction to sorrow and to pain, and we find the final victory over it in Revelation 21. I want to talk to you, teach or whatever I do, preach, and about the power of pain. Now, ordinarily, we think that pain diminishes us. It draws from us. It tries to totally excavate us and tear us into things that we'd rather forget. But I want to show you from Genesis to Revelation the power that can come out of pain. Though we don't think of it as that. There's a little town in Louisiana by the name of Carville, Louisiana, south of Baton Rouge. And it was an old abandoned sugarcane. Well, we call them factories or whatever. And it, for 100 years, was renovated and became the hospital that served people that were stricken with leprosy, or we now call it Hansen's disease. It's closed now because that disease has somewhat been wiped out. And until his death in 2003, Dr. Paul Brand, the author and doctor, was considered probably the foremost authority on the disease, as well as a pioneer in its eradication. And one of the greatest accomplishments of this young doctor was that he was the first physician to determine that the root cause of the rotting tissues was not caused by leprosy, but was in fact the loss of the sensation of pain, and made the sufferers susceptible to injury. They just couldn't feel things anymore. They lost their sense of feel. So if a bone was broken, they didn't know it. They could put their hand on a hot stove and never know it, because they could not feel the pain. The Dr. Brand once said, thank God for inventing pain. Leprosy patients lost their fingers and toes because they lacked the sensation of pain. Nothing warns them when the water's too hot or the hammer handle is splintered. And oftentimes it's the accidental self-abuse that destroys their body. They just lose sight of the power of pain. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Mark Twain said that a cat won't sit on a hot stove. But he said the only problem is he won't sit on a cold one either. He learns his lesson. How can there possibly be power? God shows up in pain, and pain becomes power, and we embrace the pain of the cross and the resurrection. And God whispers to us in our pleasures, and he speaks to us in our consciousness. But he shouts in our pain. Did you understand that? When he wants your attention, he shouts in our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Don't ever let the devil define you in your weakest moment. You can get down And the devil will say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're out. But I say no. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm in. I'm going to embrace this, although I feel that it's destroying me. I'm going to leave here with more power than I entered this adversity. Because there's power in pain. God whispers to us in our pleasures and speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. Don't ever let the devil define you in your weakest moment. He'll get you down and then convince you you're down forever. It's a lie. It's just a learning period. It's an empowering period that I'm receiving from this pain. And I'm going to learn lessons from the sorrow that you've taught me, Mr. Lucifer. The existence of suffering in this earth screams to all of us that something's wrong. And it makes us consider other values. You know, things look different from the intensive care of a hospital unit. I've heard people say, and I've said, this is killing me. Have you ever said that? This is killing me. Good, because all God can use is redemptive dead men. So God allows things to come into our life, not to destroy us, but to empower. Powers. God trusts you to weather the storm, and he believes you can represent him to a watching world. You know, in the world of athletics, and life champions are the ones who play with the pain and play in the pain and play past the pain. They just say, I'm hanging in here. This is not going to destroy me. It's going to make me. You don't lift barbells to get strength from them, but you get strength for them. And God puts adverse situations on us, not to destroy us, but we come out of it stronger. If we don't look at it as something inevitable. By faith, Noah rode a storm into a rainbow. Noah lived 350 years after the flood. Hey, he lived longer after the flood than before, and that tells me there's life after the storm. Do you ever feel like, well, when will be? I've just come to tell you that there's life after the storm. Just stay with the boat. Stay with the church. Whether you can explain it or understand it or not, adversity causes some men to break down and others to break records. Your threshold of pain determines your capacity for growth. It's not a season, but it's the seasoning of life. Pain is a seasoning. Somebody said, well, I got to know what this season of life. I understand that, what you mean by season of life. But there's also seasoning. God said he needs to be a little more tart. Throw in some Tabasco. It tastes a little bland. Throw in some salt. Because life is seasoning. And if God sees something lacking in your life, he sends some seasoning. And it's not to destroy you, but it's to make you stronger. Yes, there's life after a storm. In fact, a storm can mark a beginning. Your threshold of pain has determined your capacity for growth. And as I said, it's not seasonal, but it's seasoning. And adversity causes some men to break down, and as I said, others to break records. Preachers, I often deal with preachers, and I admonish them, don't be afraid to address real pain. Life isn't a sitcom with nice resolutions. Life is brutal, but God is mighty. I don't understand my sickness. I just lay all night and look at those walls and pray and But I can honestly say that maybe not physically, as you can see, I'm not quite as exuberant, but spiritually, I decided I was going to turn that pain. And when one nurse rushed in and said, "What is your last wishes about sustaining your life? Quick, I've got to know, your monitor's gone crazy." I said, "Well, I said, beat me and shock me, but don't do a lot of that other stuff because I'm ready to go." She said, "That's all I need to know. I can beat you and shock you." Life has a way of doing that to you, you know. You think, well, I'm taking... Am I making sense? Yeah. To tell you to look at pain as invigorating, as power-bringing. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. A thorn is the same root as word as stake. It wasn't a little pin prick. It was a stake, S-T-A-K-E. Paul said, "God gave me a stake in my flesh. It hurt, but he learned something. He called it a gift of God." And when you can look at pain and say, "It's a gift of God, I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to embrace it and say, God, I'm coming out of this stronger than I've ever been." Paul could identify with the spikes that held Jesus to the cross because of the thorn that he was given himself. He knew the feeling of stakes. How are we going to know how to empathize with people if God doesn't trust us enough to let us go through some things? And I know we whine and whine, but if you whine, there's nobody going to show up but the devil. And if you throw a pity party, he's the only one that's going to come. There's nobody else. But I'm just honest enough to tell you that whatever you're going through right now can enliven you and bring victory to you. In fact, it's even seen as terminology as new birth. Pain comes out of relationship, and birth is a relationship. But new life comes when a woman embraces the pain of bringing birth. And John spoke of the new birth. It may be painful, but it's teaching us something. The three Hebrew children, God didn't want them to burn out. He wanted them to burn on. And the old king said, "How many did we throw in there?" He said, "Well, we threw three in, but he said, I see four." And let me tell you something about the fourth man. The fourth man never did come out of that fire. You don't find him out of it. So if you ever get in the fire furnace, all you got to do is just wait. He's already there. He's already there. An overcomer waiting for overcomers. And he is fed by our victories. You want to nourish God? He is nourished by our victories. We reproduce in pain. And as I said, there's no birth without pain. There's no bond like the bond of mother and child. It's a relationship born in pain. Sometimes God delivers you from the fire furnace, and other times he just makes you fireproof and let it burn on. Because he knows you're going to learn something out of this pain, that it's going to produce power. I wanted to preach something else. I'd rather preach something else. But the Holy Spirit just kept whispering to me the power of pain. They've got to get a new attitude toward what pain can do. It is not authorized to destroy them. It is authorized to make them. God is more concerned with our development than he is with our comfort. And I oftentimes tell leaders that are leaders that it's both brutal and beautiful, it's bleedership. Because if you want people to bleed, you got to hemorrhage first. So So if you want to be a leader, you can look for a little pain, but it's not sent to destroy you. It's sent to develop you into what God has in mind for you. The psalmist wrote and said, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. Wow, because it allowed me to see your statutes or your word. This affliction, Paul said, or rather David said, put God in a new perspective to me. When I was afflicted, I was allowed to see God's word, his statutes, such as I never saw before. In the 119th Psalm, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. This affliction kept me from going astray. The power of pain. I'm as uncomfortable talking to you about this as you are listening. But we have to understand the tremendous power that God invests in us when he trusts us with pain. And if you're a leader, all leadership is a magnet for pain. We have a dear sister in our part of the country. Pastor knows her well. Her name's Mangan. Sister Mangan is 92 years old and still travels the world preaching. 92. But she said, this business is not for sissies. And if you're going to be a leader in the house of God and you're going to move in this millennial generation, look out for pain. But it's not going to destroy you. It's going to make you. And you're not going to come out defeated. You're going to come out determined. You're not going to come out downcast, but you're coming out with an uplifting. You're not coming out wailing and weeping, but you're going to come out with the glory of God in your soul. I've come to tell you that there's power in pain, and you're an overcomer, not a sissy. I can say this, I guess. I've heard pastors say some things. But we have too many sissified little preachers, not here. But a few places I've been, we got some sissified little preachers and preacherettes that are preaching sermonettes to Christianettes and smoking cigarettes and driving Corvettes and misusing video sets and computer sets and TV sets and with a platform dressed like majorettes, and they're missing the big set. They're missing the big set. Do you understand that power comes out of pain? This is not a show. This is not professionalism. This is heaven or hell, life or death, victory or defeat. I'm not here playing games tonight. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Max Lucado said, filter your pain through the brevity of this life and the unending beauty of the next. I'm not a theologian or a scholar. But I'm very aware of the fact that pain is necessary to us all. I don't want to be a spiritual leper. In my own life, I think I can honestly say that out of my deepest pain has come my strongest convictions of the presence of God and the love of God. Oh, Brother Tenney, you and Pastor never hurt. You don't know what pain is. Someone said, don't engage in every battle. If the battle is not between you and your destiny, it's just a distraction. And the enemy will send along distractions every now and then to try to interfere with our destiny. But if something can't change you, it can't change your destiny. If it can't affect your spirit, it can't affect your destiny. And I'm here to tell you that this church is a church of destiny. God is giving revelation to your pastor, and he's sharing it with you. And you're seeing things in Jesus you never saw before. And you're sensing things in the Holy Ghost. And I've come by to tell you that there's power in pain. If you think you've found your destiny without a crisis, you better re-examine your destiny. I'm certain that I never did grow in grace one half so much as anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain, said Charles Spurgeon. Please give me ear tonight to understand that there's power, that you can come out even of this service with greater victory. God can outbless the devil's pain-giving ability if we can look to him. Now, you know, preacher, you don't understand. Well, maybe I don't. I do know there's a difference between my role and my relationship with God. I told a pastor here a while back that was bemoaning the fact that he was retiring and settling back. And he said, what am I going to do for the Lord now if I'm not pastoring? I said, you have mixed up your role with your relationship with God. And your role may change, but your relationship with God will be the same yesterday and today and forever. And you will make a difference. Because there's power in pain. Have I ever known pain? I don't often talk about it. I've heard preachers preach, and that's all they ever talked about was how much trouble they had and how much pain they had. But yeah. I was born a country boy. I was raised on a farm with 200 head of milk cows. And I wasn't the most intelligent fellow on the block, I'll tell you that. I know what rejection is. I was always a little heavy, and they used to call me Fatso at school. Now, here comes old Fatso. You know, I could have let that get a hold of me and totally warped my personality. I had a good father, but my father had a problem with alcohol. And I know what it is as a 7, 8, 9-year-old boy to wake up in the night and hear my godly mother praying. I mean, she rattled the rafters. She was a good Southern Baptist woman, but she rattled the rafters. I could hear her, oh, God, set Fred free from this. Oh, God. And yeah, there was pain, but before it was over with, there was victory, and he was set free. But because of a praying woman that would not let go. My dear father made some bad business decisions. He was a businessman, and he died bankrupt. We wouldn't say there's any fun in that. But pain is learned, teaches us the power of prayer. You can be redeemed in your pain. See things that you never saw before. Pain. I can remember when I came to God in the Spirit-filled movement, born and raised a Southern Baptist, and I thank God for what they taught me. They taught me the Bible was the inerrant word of the living God. And at that time, it wasn't too popular to be in the Spirit-filled movement because there was something wrong with you. My aristocratic aunt told my mother, said, you get that young man to a psychiatrist, he has lost his mind. He went across the railroad track and got in with those so-called spirit-filled people. There's something wrong with him. No, there was something right with me. And I had pain, but power. I made up my mind that I was going to let the power of God. And I can remember my sweet pastor's wife. I woke up one day to realize she had failed God in a moral sense. And something said to me, you may as well give up. If she can't make it, you can't make it. But I determined to let that failure be reproductive in my life. And I'd take it and squeeze out of it all of I could learn. But I was going to make that failure teach me, not destroy me. Because I learned that even in that pain of rejection, I can remember being made fun of in Sunday school classes by some people that claimed to be spirit-filled. I remember the night that God spoke to me about a church, and he said plainly, you're to pastor that church. I said, all right, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. The ballots were cast. It was congregational. And I didn't get it. So I just went sneaking off in my study. And I called it praying. And I was telling God how hurt I was. And the Lord said, there's nothing hurt about you but your pride, and that needs to be hurt. But you know what? I did hear from God 15 years later. I was elected what at that time was a large church. To that large church, by the same people that had rejected me. But I knew I had heard from God. So even if you've heard from God, things may not go like you'd like for them to go. But there's power in pain. Am I making any sense? You don't know anything about it. I don't. I've got 9 or 10 great-grandkids and grandkids. And I've got 2 very sweet and precious members of my family, young ladies that are beautiful, whose husbands walked off and left them for another woman, and then another, and then another. And I've seen them struggle with life, try to raise their little family alone. But then I've seen them night after night in the house of God, seeking God, trying to find their new positioning in this different circumstance that they had rather not have. But it came. One of my pastors that was in my group, he told me of a woman that he heard in the altar praying, old-time altar services. Just in case you know what that is, when you get out and get a hold of the horns of the altar. Y'all ever hear of the horns of the altar? Well, these old-timers can tell you just held on till the power fell. And I could hear them praying, God help, God send the answers. Answers as we expected it didn't come, but strength came. And today I hope that they are stronger, even by that rejection, than they ever were in their life. Yes, I know what it is to hurt, but I know what it is to hold on until the sun shines and the moon glows. And you hear the voice of God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God gives commands, not explanations. I wish I knew, but I don't. I don't even understand this present sickness. I don't want to talk about myself tonight. But did you know that Saul was David's mentor? How is that, preacher? Because Saul taught David how not to do things. And God will send people in your life that mentor you by teaching you how not to do something. How did you react to this? In the love of God? I'll be through shortly. I remember one time a parachurch group, I've always been connected in leadership some way in a parachurch group. They asked me to take a position, a very difficult and strenuous time, but I said, well, I'll do it. And they called me to meet with the elders. You know what that is? So I combed my hair and got in my glad rags, and I'm going to meet the elders. And Pastor Jensen, those dear men that meant well, they stood me up in front of them, and for 2 hours, thoroughly raked me over. Because I had accepted a position they asked me to accept. Figure it out, I can't. Nobody spoke to me between that meeting of the Board of Elders in my hotel room. Nobody. I felt like I had been forsaken. But I made up my mind, though I was hurting, and I went and I fell across the bed and I prayed and I cried. What have I done? But I made up my mind that that was going to make me a better man, not a bitter man. And I was going to love those men in such a way. Do you know that when I retired from that position years longer, every one of those men that was still alive begged me. They stood up one night, please don't leave this position. Look what's happened. They were at my throat. The first thing you know, years later, they're at my knees begging me, don't leave us now. This is not, look what's happening. But I had to be sure that my spirit was right. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm telling somebody not to let your present dilemma destroy you or people destroy you. They just don't understand where you are. Yeah. It hurts. Guilt and hurt are inevitable, but misery is optional. I've known of women that in an unfortunate time in their life subjected themselves to abortion. And I've counseled with them. And to this day, they feel God is holding this against me. Well, I've come to tell you that God doesn't hold grudges. Give him a hand. He doesn't hold grudges. He forgives. He accepts. He puts it under the blood. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not justifying what you've done, but I'm telling you, there's no power like the power of forgiveness. And your God is not going to haunt you and disturb you and growl at you and be mean to you. He's going to forgive you and love you and understand you're a child that made a mistake. May the Lord be with you. I've had things taken out on my kids by people that didn't understand. Pain is in the life of every apostle. Poor Job. He lost his wife. She backslid. His children were all killed. And he looked at their graves. And he had sore balls that broke out all over him. And he was sitting with a potsherd, that's a broken piece of pottery, in the city dump, scratching himself, saying, if I knew where I might find him, if I knew, what is he? He's admitting, I can't find God in this. But I'm going to tell you, I've settled something. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know he still lives, and he's a forgiving, loving God. He doesn't sweep it under the rug. He sweeps it under the blood. Hurts. Hurts. Pain. Well, I could go on, but I think I've said enough. I, I may have told you this last time. I heard a fellow tell it. It was experience. And Paul said, it doesn't bother me to repeat this piece of advice. A man is in Walmart parking lot, loading some stuff in the trunk of his car, and a man with a mask on slips up behind him, sticks a knife in him, and says, "Give me your wallet." Well, he didn't get it out quick enough, so the man stabbed him and then grabbed his wallet and ran. Well, they called 911, and here came the ambulance, and they took him to the hospital. And a man came in with a mask on, just like the robber, with a mask on. And he looked down at him and said, "Let's go." And he took him to the operating room and cuddled him. And then he walked out and took his money. It's the same thing, but it's perception. It's perception. This is not going to destroy me. This is going to help me. I'm going to come out of this stronger. And I'm not going to expect the mask and the knife to get me down. That's what's going to lift me up and make me something that I've never been before. If you're understanding what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. So I know a little bit about rejection. Yes, Daniel, be faithful. You may spend the night with the lions, but in the morning you're going to walk with the king. And that's where I want to end up. And I thank God for inventing pain. For inventing pain. Don't hurt without a purpose. Don't throw a pity party. Even if you don't understand it, God gives commands, not explanations. And be determined that I'm going to make this make me a better man or a better woman. And I can't go back and undo it. You can't unring a bell. It's happened and I can't change it. But I know that God has my name in the book of life. And the Holy Spirit never nags. God's not nagging me every day about what I did. He's forgiven me every day because of what he did at Calvary. So I've just come by to tell you that there's power in pain. Some of you came in here tonight hurting. Some of you almost didn't come. You say, "I just don't think I'll go. I don't know that there's any answers there." And here an old man gets up and tells you that the very thing that you're enduring is empowering you. Your pastor, would you stand? Now you listen to me. You have had authority and been a shepherd over thousands of people and influenced hundreds of preachers. Peter, in the 1 Peter 2, I believe it is, spoke of the shepherd and the bishop. A loving shepherd spirit precedes the authoritarian position of that of a bishop, which empowers, not just to love, but empowers to speak signs and wonders and miracles. Somehow I feel that the Holy Spirit, I know how you loved your father, and he left prematurely. I wish I'd have known him. He's not here tonight, but I'm just an old father in the gospel. From this night forward, you're not going to cease to be a shepherd. But you're going to become a bishop and go to a new level. I see it ascending out of you. There's something burning in your soul. You've spent nights alone with God asking for revelation of what's coming next. Keep loving. But you're going to move into an authoritative position that's going to affect denominations, going to affect local congregations, going to affect preachers all over the world. And they're going to say, what's happened to Jensen? And somebody's going to say, it's a new level. And he's moved. He's not just a shepherd. But I feel the governmental authority of the bishop. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. From this night forward, new authority, new power, new influence. People affected by the thousands. But you're walking in humility. And you've turned your pain into power. I've been there, I know. And I respect it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I declare that you have reached for a new level that you've been praying for. You've been asking for it. You don't feel a mighty surge, and you wonder if I know what I'm talking about. But I know what I'm talking about. You have been released, and I don't use the word politically, but you have been released into a new era that's going to affect thousands and millions of people that believe in you and listen. And when you speak, they're going to say, there's always been love in his voice, but I feel such authority now. What is that? It's the spirit of the bishop that has come upon him.
Powerful message. Love Talk Mom?
Yes, I have thoroughly enjoyed this message. It's timely for me, and I'm sure it's timely for everyone. It's just
perfect.
I really, really appreciate you. I think Wild Bill said that God laid it on your heart to choose this message. Is that correct?
Yes. I don't know. I just came across it, and I just thought it would be a perfect one for the show.
It's such a pivotal point in everything we do, this concept, this precept of what he said. I have began to read the Word of God this year all the way through, just trying to stay right with Genesis right on through. And when I got to my lesson in First Kings, and it goes along with what's been said tonight, because there's David, and it really stood out to me that he was cold. His body was cold. He was old, and I've had, I'm 83, and I've had a real problem with not being able to get warm. And I thought, wow, well, I'm identifying with these scriptures. And so, but what actually happened, they had a lovely young woman that took care of him, his needs, that whatever they were. It was a very holy relationship as far as her. There was nothing wrong, sensual about that. But because of his helplessness, because of his situation, God was able to take every part of it and bring God's perfect will for when David was going to pass away. Because God had already said Solomon was going to be the king. But someone else stepped in and tried to usurp that. And it could have been one of the most horrible situations in David's life and in his followers and his family. But in that quiet time, in that situation, Bathsheba was able to go in, and the priest, and each one of them, and brought it, God turned it completely around to his perfect will. It was a greater thing than killing the giant. I mean, it was just, but who would, you know, can you imagine David, such an outdoor, wonderful, strong, leading, and there he is. The minister said, old age, sickness, financial problems, you know, they come our way. But Almighty God will take it if we'll let him. And he'll turn it, take all of those ashes and make it into something beautiful, something good. Oh, this is so good. Thank you very, very much for the program this evening. And I'm sure there's Wild Bill will be here and there'll be others that would want to comment on this lesson. So I'll just be quiet for a moment and just let whoever would like to speak.
Enjoy this. Well, Bill, how are you?
Well, how are you guys doing? I'm doing pretty good. I'm not standing out in the rain tonight, so I'm doing really good. This message is one of those things that probably a lot of younger people in their relationship with God really can't relate to very well, not to say that they don't go through hurts and they don't go through pain when they're younger, but I know that there's been things in my life that I've went through, and Blog Talk Mom would come up and she'd want to give me a book to read about what I was going through, and it was just too painful. It was just too raw to be able to look at it at that time, to be able to get from it what I needed to get. But with life experience of going through those things, sometimes I think about that situation where I had the boss that was doing everything he could to mess with me at a time where I was hurt from an accident I had in a truck, which I took great pride in being able to say that I never had an accident in a truck. You know, that was, you know, one of those things, part of my identity. You know, I never had an accident. And then all of a sudden, here you have one, so you're ashamed, and you're already, men don't deal with pain and separation from work very well at all. We are, part of our identity is set up into the position of, you know, being the breadwinner for your family. And the way they did things wrong, it was so clear that, you know, the way the contract was written up, I had an out to be able to collect hundreds of thousands of dollars for what he had done. And I had all kinds of people praying for me, and I was sort of spending the money before I got it, believing it was going to come and God was going to work it out. And we went to the expense of going to a grievance hearing in New Orleans, Louisiana, and then later we had to go down to someplace in Florida. And so I had to miss work and, you know, had to go there, and we were, you know, putting all this stuff on credit cards and, you know, because the financial thing was there. And it sounds like I can really brag on myself when I talk about, to this day I can't figure out what in the world was going on to make me want to buy pizza for the office staff anyway. I try to wrap my brain around what in the world was going through my mind that when I was fixing to go back to work, and I did get some money, the stuff that they had actually shorted me that they hadn't paid me, I got that. But I didn't get the penalty pay that went along with what they were doing. And I try to understand what meant peanut to make me think, okay, here this, most of the office people were afraid to say anything, and so they sort of backed him up by not saying anything. And the ones that were not afraid to say anything, they didn't really have any power to do anything, but they were really putting their job on the line. So what happened that made me think, I'm going to throw a pizza party for these people in this office because I'm fixing to go back to work? And I can't answer that question. I do not have an answer as to what. I just knew that it was something that would break in me if I did it. Because I'm not going to lie, I had a hatred for my boss that was doing all these things that was causing me all this financial discomfort as well as the physical discomfort. I just, you know, I'm like, I can't describe you know, the thing they were telling me not to take my pain medication that I was prescribed and supposed to take, because then they were getting to a safety issue or an OSHA issue where I was being asked to sit in a chair all day and perform light duty. And, you know, so here I was, I'd sit so long and I'd get muscle spasms if I moved the wrong way, and it was just, it was horrendous. But something spoke in my heart when he said, I can't be there. My boss, the one that was the main culprit behind doing me bad, he said, I can't be there that day. I'm fixing to go out of town, and my last day is going to be, it was a couple of days before when I said I was going to do this. And so I told him, I said, well, we will move this to the day that you're here so that you can take part. Now, part of me should have been thinking, and normally I would be thinking, good, I didn't want you to be there anyway. I don't like you. You don't like me. I have bitterness and hatred in my heart towards you. But something deeper inside said, no, do it that last day that he's here. And I won't ever forget the feeling of love that God gave me to see just how ignorant this man was and how he thought that he was doing right in what he did as his representative over our terminal for the company. And he went to shake my hand and thank me for the pizza, and I grabbed him and hugged him. And the Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on someone's head when you return good for evil. And I've heard that my whole life, but I actually witnessed it in that situation. But that wasn't the purpose. God granted me not my love, because my capacity for love in that situation was not there. But God's capacity for love was there and gave me the chance to be a witness as to who I claim to be as a Christian, as an example in that situation. And I've always wondered what the other people in the office thought about that day. And I actually, after that, had people come to me and said that they were amazed knowing the things that he did and knowing how hard he made things on me, that I grabbed him and hugged him. And they said that they, you know, people said, I knew you were real when you did that. I knew it wasn't just a word thing. I knew it wasn't just talking about the things of God, but you were real. And so sometimes in pain, God does strengthen us, and he allows us to see when I'm weak, he is strong. When I don't know what to do, he knows exactly what to do. When I can't have love, he has more than enough love for both of us. And so that walking after the flesh is easy and leaning on God is hard, but when you do that, when you put it in action in a time of pain, the lesson that I learned from that right there and being able to share that with other people, and I know it don't mean the same thing to them as it does to me, but that is something that I witnessed, is a testimony that I can give of how God didn't just move to show his power in my life, but he gave me something different of an understanding that I could have never grasped any other way. I've had people that misconstrued things and thought they were going to put on their Mr. Fix-It hat, and they thought they were coming to somebody else's rescue, that they just did me wrong. And it hurt. There was pain there. I got people that I love to this day that are in ministry that will tell you that I can't be saved. And they believe that from the bottom of their heart. And I love those people. I respect those people for their stand and their walk with God. But for years, I allowed that to be a bondage to keep me from turning to God. Every time he would prick my heart and pull up my heartstrings, I'm like, but I can't be saved. You know, I don't understand this, but I can't be saved. And so their words had power, and I can understand what the preacher was saying tonight. He didn't understand why they wanted him to do something, and then started raking him over the coals for doing it. But God has a plan that goes beyond things to where he understands that it takes iron to sharpen iron. And he understands that in the heat that's applied to you sometimes, purification takes place to where you grow in ways towards God that you couldn't grow any other way. Blog Talk Mom has had this same situation with her music. She's had the same thing with her ministry. I don't believe women should be preachers. Women that can't be called to preach, and you know, and, you know, I don't believe in women taking authority in the church and leading prayer. And, you know, I don't think it, when you have a message in tongues with interpretation, it should be done in a loud voice like that. It should be meek and calm and a small, pleasant voice. And I don't believe God, you know, reaches out to people in rap. You know, the whole thing that's there, the it goes completely across the board. And it's amazing to me how God most of the time will use people in church to hurt you the worst. There's a pain that comes from that of not being able to understand. You know, I can't comprehend. Why would they want to hurt me? Why is it that if I say it's white, they got to say it's black? Why is it that when I need people to help me, they want to do the parts that I can do instead of the parts that I can't do? But I'm telling you that if you keep your heart right and you listen to the voice of God, he's going to do something on this that's going to make you greater than what you could ever make yourself by trying to stand up and set the record straight and trying to put people in their place and trying to fix it on your own. It just does not work when you do that. And I'm thankful, I don't remember how old I was when God gave me that lesson, but I'm thankful that that was a lesson that I finally learned. I have to allow God to forgive me, and to do that I have to forgive myself. But more than that, I have to forgive others, because God says, if you can't forgive others, then don't even think about asking me to forgive you. You know, you don't have any forgiveness in your heart, and then you can't be forgiven. And I know I'm paraphrasing this and butchering it terribly, and Blog Talk Mom can probably come back and straighten this out just a little bit, but the basics and the fundamental things of God are established. They're not going to change. They're not going to be watered down to fit whatever you think. They're not going to be something that you're going to be an exception. God makes it very clear that we're all on a level playing field. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He didn't say we were all born into sin. He said we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when you get to one, you put on your big boy boots and go up there and stomp on somebody else, I pray that you realize that what you reap, you're going to sow, because it will come back. So that's all I have. Starlight, thank you so much for bringing this to me and having the boldness to say, hey, this needs to be next week's show. And I'm thankful that I had enough wisdom to listen. I think the song that started the show fit so well with the message that was preached or taught or however you want to look at it. And so that's all I have for you guys tonight. So Blog Talk Mom and Starla or anybody else that's got a comment or question, it's back to you guys.
Thank you, Wild Bill, as always, icing on the cake. Blog Talk Mom.
Oh, I love it. Yes, icing on the cake. He certainly is. Did we have anybody else call in?
If you would like to make a comment or ask a question, just push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Blog Talk Mom, it's on you.
I was hoping Sister Sandra would be able to call in tonight. She's been working. She's called in before. She's one of the most remarkable people that I've ever met. And, of course, maybe on another time to tell the whole story of how she has been that person that's been willing to take just unbelievable hardships for other people. It's just amazing to me how she stands her ground. Since she's been in the church this last season, after she had decided to just totally enter ministry, I've never known. It's just amazing. All of the different outreaches that she's part of. And every time I hear, like today, she was at the nursing homes visiting, and they were sending pictures of a lady I love very, very much. And at the jail, and this is, I'm using her as an example. I was hoping she would have been able to stay up. But she, has, you know, like a picture is worth more than 1,000 words. And when you see someone that goes through these things, like what Brother Tenney was saying, it becomes a tremendous testimony because it's likened unto Christ. You know, he gave it all. And just like he mentioned in the sermon, Paul wasn't somebody that we couldn't say was mistreated above anything I could imagine. Maybe 14 of the 27 epistles in the New Testament. And, you know, but it was because I believe that he went through those things that made him so just on target with every church. He built those churches. And as he would go, like, to Ephesus and Corinth, and each one of them, there would be all types of struggles and beatings and imprisonments and all that. But out of that, then we have the Word of God, that God used him as a tool, inspired him to write those. And I love it. It encourages me. I need it because I've always had a problem. Well, everybody, yeah, people probably say, you got a lot of problems. But, you know, sometimes you feel inferior or insufficient, and you that's another form of not understanding that you are what you are. He empowers us to be whatever he calls us to be. And today I was there was a little mix up about I needed equipment to next time I go to the jail, because we play a track, and sometimes I'll get to rap. And they really love it there. But anyway, I didn't get upset. I was very tired because it took forever, it seemed like, to get it straightened out at the store. But I got a chance to witness. And when I came out, the two ladies, dear friends of mine, elderly ladies, probably not as old as me, but they're twins. They're adorable. They knocked on my window, and I got my window down. And they showed me a picture of their daddy in his late 80s this past week getting baptized in Jesus' name. And she was telling me how her mother had prayed and sought God that that their dad would come through. And then they looked so excited and happy, and I started crying. It was just so beautiful. And, just God is God. And he'll take whatever will allow him. He's not going to make us, but he'll make it beautiful. I love it because he straightens. It's like that story that practicing the presence of God. I don't speed. I try to always obey the speed limit and things like that. But when I do see blue lights and a policeman, I have a tendency to really check, make sure I'm doing the speed limit and the whatever. It's just a natural thing. And so when pain comes our way, disappointment comes our way, things we don't understand, and we have to turn absolute focus to God and to his word, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I just love it. I love the way God does everything. And while Bill alluded some to the fact that a lot of people have really been against the rap that the Lord gave me. Many people wanted me to go different directions with it than I felt like God was telling me. And so today, in that situation, there was a little store, and I was going to go in there and get some bookmarks, Christian bookmarks, for my class. And the lady in there ran and grabbed me, hugged me. I hadn't seen me in years, wanted to know all about it. I told her about the rap and different parts. And I told her that I'd been invited to 5 major television programs, and I lightly told her about that. And I told her I felt led not to do that. And she said, well, let me share something with you. And she told me how her daughter, this lady's older, but her daughter was a model and a very devout Christian, but was sort of like an actress, and in spiritual situations. Anyway, she was so good, she was invited to do a movie, a real movie. And so when they did her, when she went in with the others and they had a part for her to do, it had profanity in it. So when she said her part, she left the profanity out. And so later they came back around and they said, "You're the one," to the girl, woman. Said, you're definitely who we want. Now, all we ask, and at that point, the mother said that there was like a darkness. It was like a darkness all around. And then the man said, "All you have to do is go ahead right here. Don't think anything about it. Nobody will. Go ahead and use those words that were in there originally." And she said, "No, sir. I don't talk that way." And they left. And so it seemed like God placed that right in front of me. I didn't have to hear that to change anything. But it encouraged me because that's the only person that said anything to me in the 7 or 8 years that like that. And that's because that's exactly what I felt. And I don't take those things coincidence. When the Lord lets, like, everything that happened today was beautiful. And I told those ladies, I said, "We're praying. We're going to have revival in our family. We're going to have all of them are going to start coming to God and finding out what the calling is for their life." And I believe that. I know Sister Starla, Wild Bill, we're praying. It's just going to happen. God is God. And he loves people much more than we really do, because our love comes from him. One more little thing. When we were at our 40-acre farm, we had a beautiful, beautiful farm, and there was an area that was a pear orchard that didn't have any pears on it. And a neighbor farmer came, and he was going to show us what to do, and he cut it all down. And I was just brokenhearted. I was angry because he cut down, apparently just cut it down. But the next year we had it was so beautiful, I can't describe it. We had more pears than we could have ever used, and I gave away pears. But it took that. It took cutting it back, you know, doing all that looked like it, and that's what God does for us. He loves us, and those things have to go, and we have to, so that we can bring forth the fruit of his spirit, which is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. And as Wild Bill said, sometimes it'll make you have a pizza party. So I'm through for tonight. I love y'all very much, and thank you for the program.
Thank you, Blood Talk Mom. I so appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, I don't know what I could add to make this any better than it's already been. I've really enjoyed the show tonight, and I so appreciate you and Wild Bill. And I love you both so very much. God is so good. He has blessed my life so much, I cannot tell it all.
That's beautiful.
Well, I want to thank you. Well, thank you. I want to thank our listeners for being with us each week, and thank you so much, Top Mom, for staying up with us. You're so faithful, and I so do appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you.
That's good. Makes me happy.
Well, thank you all so much for being with us, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.